Well, good morning. My name is Jonathan Locke. Let's try this again. Good morning. There you go. Awesome. My name is Jonathan Locke. I'm the minister to adults here at Blue Valley. Mainly my role is to oversee Sunday school at the Antioch campus. And then also I oversee women's ministry, men's ministry, senior adult ministry, and collegiate ministry. So I get to cover the whole span, which is super fun and exciting. A little bit more about me. I'm married to my wonderful bride, Jamie, who's right over here. We celebrate our 18th anniversary this coming Sunday. So we're super excited about that. And we're having a great time with that. We have a freshman son named Andrew who attends Blue Valley High School, and then a daughter who's in seventh grade that attends Blue Valley Middle School. So we're all kinds of fun of teenage life in our world right now, which is awesome. Super excited to be here with you guys this morning to open up God's word together with you. A little bit more about me and my testimony and my story. I surrendered my life to Christ when I was a senior in high school. It was January 18th, 1997. And it was actually here at Blue Valley. And on that day, I found joy. I don't have the I was down in the dumps testimony. I don't have that testimony where, you know, I was in the ditch bleeding. Some guy came and pulled me out and shared the gospel with me. And now I surrendered my life to Christ. No, mine's actually a lot different. Before Christ, I had parents that blessed me tremendously. I never had to buy a car. I never had to pay for gas. I never had to pay for insurance. I got anything and everything that I wanted. Some of you teenagers are sitting out there now going, man, I wish I had your life, right? But not only that, I mean, my life was blessed. I made the sports teams that I tried out for. I made the seat and band that I tried out for. Jobs came looking for me. It was really kind of crazy. I got the girl, right? Jamie was my girl in high school, and so it was totally awesome. Everything was great. But it wasn't until I finally accepted the invitation from Jamie to attend a church retreat that I realized that I was missing something, right? And it wasn't until Jesus invaded my life that I realized that I was missing so much. And then once I started to put my faith in Jesus and follow him, I found joy. I understood what it meant to live with purpose in a course that was laid out for me. But one thing that didn't take me long to learn was that life didn't get easier. Right? As a follower of Christ, Jesus doesn't just take all of the challenges away. And I remember 2 weeks after I surrendered my life to Christ, sitting down in the student pastor's office going, okay, what's wrong with me? I thought life was supposed to get easier. I thought life was supposed to get better. And he goes, oh, wait, sorry, I forgot to tell you about that part. It doesn't. It doesn't. And so I know what it's like to lose people I've loved, right? I know what it's like to lose best friends. I know what it's like to have family members being told that they have cancer. I know what it's like to have to discipline my kids. I know what it's like to deal with sometimes severe back pain constantly. I understand those things and understand now that pain and hurt doesn't leave when we follow Christ. Not only that, but I quickly understood that following Jesus isn't easy. It's not just a cakewalk. It's not comfortable. It takes risks. Right? It calls us to see brokenness. And then the people around us can sometimes look at us and say, you're fools. You're acting foolish as a follower of Christ. Sometimes we're held to higher standards. Following Christ means that I must share my story and tell people about my faults and my failures and allow them to see into my life. But one of the most difficult things that I think is required of us when we follow Jesus is faith. Right, stepping out into the unknown, stepping out into the darkness and saying, okay, Christ, I will follow you right here, and not knowing where that next step is going to lead us. So in college, just after a year, when I started my walk with Christ, I learned what it meant to sustain my walk with Christ. I learned what it meant to discipline myself to experience God's transforming power. And I was turned early on to this passage of scripture that we're going to look at this morning. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And I love the opportunity while you're turning there. I love the opportunity to preach on this Sunday morning. This is a Sunday morning that usually student pastors get because the pastor's already done all the Christmas Eve stuff. And he says, here, go ahead and preach this Sunday. So I love this morning because we're right on the heels of New Year's. And on the heels of New Year's means that we have people, some of you are out there dreaming about the things to come and what the new year brings. But I also understand that some of us are sitting out there going, man, I'm not excited about this new year and what it brings. I'm actually kind of fearful for it. All right, but I hope that as we dive into God's word this morning that we can be encouraged, that we can learn what it means to follow Jesus in this race no matter what life brings us. If it's great, if the future looks awesome and promising, or if it looks bleak. So before we read scripture this morning, let's go ahead and spend a time of prayer, in a time of prayer. So here we go. Most awesome God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to be here, to look into your word and to dive into your word together. Open up our eyes, open up our ears. Lord, speak through me. May they not be my words, but may they be your words. It's in Christ's awesome name we pray. And everybody said, amen. So if you would stand with me as we honor the reading of God's word, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, which states, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Thank you. You may be seated. So the first word that we encounter in verse 1 is therefore. And one of the very first things that I was taught as I was reading God's word and as I was being taught how to read God's word was when you see the word therefore, you're supposed to ask the question, what's it there for? Right? Has anybody ever been told that before? Right? So if you see a therefore, you ask the question, what's it there for? So therefore, you have to go back. You have to go back into the scriptures and look. And so we go all the way back into chapter 12 and we say, oh, this is what it's there for. What we see is the hall of fame of faith. Right? It takes us back and shows us all of these great members of the faith and tells us a little bit about their story. And that by faith they did this, or by faith they did that. So as we start in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, we see, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, those are those that came before us that walked in faith, like Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Joseph and Moses and Rahab, right? So the first thing that we're going to learn from this section of scripture is that we can continue to follow Jesus by finding encouragement. So if you're a note taker, that's your blank number one. We can continue to keep following Jesus by finding encouragement. We can be better runners if we find encouragement. Right? We can keep following Jesus through the hard times if we surround ourselves with people that have run before us. So I'm not a runner. Okay, my sport of choice was baseball because I knew I only had to go 90 feet, right? And so that's my distance that I love. But I was talked into running the Kansas City Zoo Run about 3 years ago. Okay, it's a really fun run if you've never done it. But what happened when we were running is that as I was running along, all these people were on the course that was laid out before us encouraging me. And go on, man, you can do it. Good job. Keep going, right? You're halfway there. And I was like, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, like, I've got two more steps, right? Or there's water ahead. And I was like, yes, I need water, right? So that was through that run. But the most encouraging thing was as I got closer to the end and was looking at those people that were standing on the sidelines or on the sides of the course, they already had medals around their neck. And I was like, well, obviously you're faster than me. But they came back around, they crossed the finish line, got their medal, came back around, and then said, hey, man, good job. Keep going, continue to press on, you're doing great, right? That encouraging moment, super encouraging as you're running. And not only that, they had the prize. They completed it. So I was like, yes, I want that. That looks cool, right? I want to be a part of that. It was so encouraging. And this is similar to what we see in this verse, right? We are surrounded by men and women that have finished the race and that have now passed the baton on to us and are encouraging us to continue to carry the gospel and endure till we finish or we cross the finish line. They've given us great examples of what faith looks like and what it looks like to follow Jesus. You know, I hope that we can be like them as witnesses. They have passed on, and now their witness is turning around and continuing to encourage us. I hope our story does the same thing for all of those others around us. We are surrounded by those that have finished the race, encouraging us all through the pages of the Old Testament. And I know a lot of us, when we read Scripture, right, we look at these men and women like they're superheroes, right? And we say, well, that was Moses, or that was David, or that was Peter. And we're just like, there's no way I can even begin to live a life like those guys did. But we can find encouragement from others even on our life today, though. Right? We can find others that can encourage us today. In college, I worked at a camp called Kennecuck. And I continue to look to the director, his name's Keith Chansey, for encouragement. Right? Because Keith loved Jesus, and he seemed to never run out of energy. He was always found ways to encourage others. He loved God's word. And through the ups and downs of life, he stayed focused on Jesus. This past summer, I got to see him again in person as we picked up Andrew from camp. And he looked at me, and Jamie, as we walked up, and he goes, "You're Jonathan Locke, right?" And I was like, "You've got to be kidding me. How do you remember me? It's been 20 years. And he goes, "Man, just continue to follow Jesus. Continue to run after him. He is still encouraging me to stay focused on Christ." We can surround ourselves by people who encourage us. And let me ask you something. If you don't have somebody that encourages you, find someone. All right? If you don't have that person that encourages you, find that person. I am pretty sure there's somebody in this room with the gift of encouragement. Allow them to bless you with encouragement. Allow them to speak life into you, to continue to encourage you to press on, no matter what comes your way. Right? Ask somebody to disciple you. Ask somebody to encourage you along through the hard times. We're the church. We're here together to encourage one another to press on. So point number two, as we move on, how can we become better runners and followers of Christ? We can keep following Jesus by throwing off every weight. And as we see on the scripture here, it says, "Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." The NIV, I love the way that the NIV states it. It says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." Right? So let us lay aside or throw off. When runners train, what do? A lot of times you see runners train, they put weights on their shoulders like a vest, or they tie themselves to a weighted like trailer type thing and try to run, you know, run around with that or all kinds of other gadgets, which helps them train and become faster. But when it comes time to racing, what do? They take everything possible off. Right, if you watch the Olympics, those guys are wearing like next to nothing, right? So that they are not inhibited by anything. And this is the same way that we should do, right? Take off all the weights that we carry around and throw them off. All those things that lead us off the course, that we carry around, that take us off the mark, lay them aside and focus all of our energy on Jesus. Focus all of our energy on the things that are eternal, not the things that are here on earth. So what are these weights? Well, they're different for all of us, right? Not all of us carry the same weights around. But one way that we can find out is simply ask a question: does that make me a better runner? Right? Does that make me a better runner for Christ? So let me give you an example. Jamie and I, like I shared earlier, we are raising teenagers. Okay? And when Andrew and Abigail do something that we don't necessarily approve of, we tend to say, hopefully a biblical answer, like, hey, let me tell you why you shouldn't be doing this. And we go to the God's word and say, hey, this is why. But, you know, when we're feeling lazy, we tend to be the parents, like I think most of us have been at some point or another. We just say, stop doing that. And they say, well, why? And we say, because I said so. Right? Anybody ever been there? Right? Yeah, okay, thanks for your honesty. Because I said so. Just don't do it. We don't want you to do that. So instead of that, and after reading this text, I really want to drill into my mind when we're talking to Andrew and Abigail, when we're talking to our kids about something that they shouldn't do, my response, I want it to be, hey, I don't want you to do that because it doesn't make you a better runner. Right? It's a weight that you're going to have to carry around with you that is going to slow you down, that is going to hurt you ultimately. So there's no reason in doing that. Don't continue to carry around a weight that's going to keep you from the finish line. And so I think that's a challenge for all of us too. Don't just ask, hey, what's wrong with my music? Or what's wrong with my movies or video games or thoughts or emotions or tax returns or friendships or computer habits? Right, etc. Fill in the list, whatever those weights might be. Don't just ask, hey, what's wrong with this? Ask, does it help me run? Does it encourage me to run? Does it make me focus my energy and my love on Jesus? One thing, I don't want to go back to the 90s into super legalism and say, hey, all of us, we need to go home and burn our CDs and cassettes. Anybody remember that? Okay, right? We were always concerned, just go throw it away, go burn it. We had burn parties for stuff. And I don't want to encourage that because I don't want to be super legalistic. But we do need to look at the things in our life that might not be sinful and they might not be wrong, but they may be something that's being a weight in our life. Something that we just kind of need to say, you know what, I don't need to do this on Facebook anymore. You know what, I don't need to do this on social media anymore. You know what, I don't need to act this way when I drive. You know what, I really attack myself a lot when it comes to this emotionally. Maybe I need to just kind of back down so that we can be better runners. Take those weights and throw them off. One of the most concerning things when it comes to followers of Christ today is that they set their sights not on the course that's laid out for them, but they set their sights on the most minimal standards of what it means to follow Christ. What's the minimum thing that I can get away with? Right? And that is super dangerous. It's not very smart. Because what's happening here is that we're asking, how far can I go before I sin? And being a student pastor for 20 years, the question that I got the most was, hey, I'm in this relationship with this girl or this guy now. And the question I have for you, Jonathan, is how far is too far physically in our relationship before I start to sin? And a lot of times my response, my response was generally, hey, if it's not making you a better follower of Christ, that's when you have to start saying this is too far. If it's not making your friend, your boyfriend or girlfriend a better follower of Christ, you need to back down. And so then a lot of times they look and they think and I say, so how far is that? And they say, well, I guess holding hands. And I say, perfect, right? That's great, okay? We don't want to carry dumbbells when we run. It doesn't make sense. When we're following Christ, we don't want to carry dumbbells. Not only that, we don't want to assume that the weights that we are carrying around aren't going to ultimately cause us to sin. Because Satan's desire is to use those weights to trip us up. Satan's desire is to use those things to cause us to go off course and to not follow him anymore. So we need to do what? As this passage of scripture says, we need to cast them aside. Right? Not only that, we need to throw them off and take them out of our life. Okay? Living at the lowest possible standard's insane. Don't do that. Don't do that. Finally, as we dive into the scripture, we're encouraged to endure the race and keep following Jesus by looking to Jesus. It seems simple, right? As a follower of Christ, it seems simple. I continue to look at Christ. Continue to keep your eyes fixed on him. And that's what verse 2 and 3 says. It says, look into Jesus. NIV says, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured for sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary and faint-hearted. So let's think about this. The last quarter mile that Jesus had to run, Thursday night in the Garden of Gethsemane to 3 p.m. the next day, how did he do it? How did Jesus finish his race? He had his own race to run. Yes, his race was only 33 years, but just think how horrific the last leg of his race was. His last leg of race, he had nails in his hands. He had nails in his feet. He had a spear in his side. He had a crown of thorns on his head. He had people spitting at him. He had people mocking him. The physical and emotional pain that he had, and he continued to finish his race. How in the world did he do that? So let's think about us really quick. How will we finish our race, the course that is set out before us when the wind comes, when the rain comes, when the hills come, when the potholes are in front of us, when the heat hits our face? How will we finish? Well, when we look to Jesus, and his answer was, he ran for the joy that was set before him. So what was that joy? He was able to finish because he was thinking about being reunited with Jesus. He was thinking about being reunited with the Father in heaven. Right? He was thinking about walking out of the tomb. He was thinking about all of the people that he was saving through his death. I even think he was thinking about you and me. At that time, the joy that was set before him. He set his sights on heaven and he ran and is now seated at the right hand of the throne. So like I mentioned earlier, it's not easy, right, to follow Jesus. And Jesus told us that because of our faith, we'll be hated, right? And that we will be persecuted and that we will struggle and that we will face pain and sorrow. But he also reminded us that he has gone through it all himself, right? And to not fear, to take heart that he has overcome the world. So we keep running. We continue to run, but understanding that our running won't last forever. The wonderful thing is that we can know Jesus today. You think about the Old Testament guys that were talked about in Hebrews chapter 11. They never got to see the prize. They never got to experience it here on earth. We get to experience Christ today, which is amazing, which continues to, as he speaks to me and as he talks to me, continues to give me encouragement as I run. So we know that our running won't last forever, and that one day there will be no more running and no more struggling, and that we will finish the race and then we will rest. But until that day, we have to do what? We have to continue to run, continue to follow. And when Satan tempts you to sin, you look to Jesus, who defeated Satan and sin and hell. And when you feel lonely or alone, you look to Jesus, the one who will never leave us or forsake us. And when you mess up or blow it, you stop looking at your failures and mistakes, and you look to Jesus, the one who forgives us. And when you hurt and are disappointed and somebody disappoints you, you look to Jesus, the one who will never let you down. And when you deal with cancer or heart disease or bad health, you look to Jesus, the one who has prepared a place for you with a new body. And then finally, when you face death or you lose people you love, you look to Jesus, the one who defeated death, and keep going. Now, we can do this today with joy. With joy in our life. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, Paul said, "I'm sorrowful, yet always rejoicing." How is that even possible? "I'm sorrowful, yet always rejoicing." It's possible because his eyes were fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Turn with me really quick to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 32, the writer of Hebrews says, "But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering." So here he is talking to these people saying, hey, remember when you were enlightened, when Jesus invaded your world and you surrendered your life to Christ, it didn't get any easier. This is what the writer's saying to them. It didn't get any easier. "And sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction." Not only that, not only did it get easier, but you were hit straight on. You were hit right in the face. "And then sometimes being partners with those so treated." So not only that, but you also had your neighbor here that was being treated that same way, and you went and joined them. You went and identified with them. And then you continue on. Look what it says here. "For you had compassion on those in prison." You had compassion on those in prison. And so what's happening here is these followers of Christ saw their brothers and sisters in Christ heading off to prison. They had compassion with them, and they chose to identify with them as opposed to going underground and protecting themselves and protecting their house and protecting their family, protecting their stuff, protecting their kids, protecting their spot on the team, protecting, lay it out there, whatever it is that we protect. They said, no, I'm going to identify with those in prison. And look what happens. "And you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property." How is that possible? They joyfully accepted the plundering of their property by identifying with these others that are in prison. As guys came in and swept all their stuff away, they said, you know what? It's okay. Because why? And it says it right here at the end of that verse. It says, "Since you knew that you yourself had a better possession and an abiding one." You knew what was to come was way better. And that is the same with us. When we look at the struggles and the temptations that we have today, my hope and prayer is that we can keep our eyes fixed on Jesus so that this stuff around the world and all the pains that we take on, we can say, you know what? That is nothing compared to my Savior, Jesus Christ. That is nothing compared to the things that God has in store for me. So I'm going to continue on this course. I'm going to continue on what God has for me. I'm not going to veer off left or right, but I'm going to trust in him completely. We have better and lasting things ahead of us. So when our focus is on Jesus, we can keep going. And by God's grace, we'll cross the finish line. So how? How do you stay the course for 80 plus years? Right? How do you not give in to the temptations that cause you to leave the course? How do you keep from carrying all the weights and keep from being tripped up by sin? How can you keep from asking what's against the rules and rather ask, how can I train and eat and dress and be the best runner possible? How can I live my life and finish my course that is laid out before me with maximum Christ exalting faith, lifting up Jesus at all times? Well, we run our race by finding encouragement. Surround yourself with people that can lift you up. Dive into God's word and allow the people that lived out their faith in God's word be encouragement for you. We continue to run by throwing off every weight. Those things that might not be sinful, those things that might not be bad, but just aren't helping us run. Throw those things off. And then finally, continue to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's pray.